Welcome to the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, your host, also the host of the television show Wing Shooting USA. Hope you watch that. These days you can watch it on about 200 local television stations, among other places. We have got an interesting and I hope constructive take on this whole shelter-in-place coronavirus panic that is, taken over here in the United States. I asked on some Facebook pages a few questions. I'll elaborate on those in a minute. But we're going to make the most of your house arrest and help you continue to develop your dog's skills and talents to their maximum right here on the Upland Nation podcast. Coming to you from the Cabela's podcast studio. We're outfitted by Cabela's, wearing a shirt and pants from them right now. There will also be, of course, the usual stuff, some public access advice, a hunting strategy or dog handling tip, and some adventures, including from your own phone calls. Just back from a long walk with my dog Flick on some adjacent BLM ground to my house that is not closed yet. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes as well. We are working on two things, force breaking and steadiness to wing shot and fall. And boy, oh boy, is he coming right along. I hope you're making progress with your dog at the same time. That's part of the question that we will get to in just a few moments. First, sageandbreaker.com is one of my sponsors. Sage and Breaker Mercantile is the official name of the company, but you find them at sageandbreaker.com. I told you their gun mats, both for long guns and for handguns, are ready to pre-order. They did sell out. They've got them in the pipeline. It's just a matter of time. If you'd like to order your own high quality, the best, the highest caliber gun cleaning and gun care products, go to sageandbreaker.com. And there is a sale on at dogtra.com right now. Dogtra.com is where you learn more about the TNB dual training collar. It's got a little of everything and some things you do not need. You have two sets of buttons so you can control two dogs, two collars with one hand, and you don't have to poke around or toggle on a screen or anything like that. You can save yourself a little money by using the code SLUN10 on any purchase over $200. You'll get 10% off. All right, so here we are in the midst of what I consider to be a just kind of a, I'm sorry to say it this way because I don't mean to sound callous. I know people who have it, and I know people who will probably get it, and either you or me or one of your friends may as well, but it is, to a degree, a tempest in a teapot. This coronavirus thing is frankly, a little overblown in my book, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about all the things that matter to you, your dog, your hunting, your training during this time of, unusual circumstance. Let's call it that. If you don't know by now, some folks in some states are actually putting a hammer down and closing public ground. On a local basis, it may or may not have affected you yet, but it will. Pennsylvania is one of the most recent places to close a state park system. We're seeing more of that on a broader basis with properties administered by public land management agencies that are not state parks per se. Keep your eyes peeled. The last thing you want to do is get caught trespassing on land that you and me and everybody else here owns. So double check wherever you're going there. No more news on the zoonotic, I think that's the term we want to use, the zoonotic potential, either passing this disease to your dog or your dog passing it to you. Practice good hygiene no matter what you're doing. It's always smart to wash your hands after every touching incident, whether it's a dog, a human, or some of that stuff in the grocery store that's been pawed over, pardon the pun. So watch out for that. Supply chain issues, there will be some. There is no doubt about it. Since we last talked a few days ago, Benelli has responded to a question I had for them. You know, being made in the hot zone of Italy, our Benelli shotguns are going to be in short supply very soon, and they have assured us that they have about a two-month backlog of inventory in the pipeline right now. Now, whether that means things will get better or worse, we'll have to find out. But right now, there will most likely be some shipping delays, mandatory government stoppages in Italy beyond their control is what they tell us, and that will affect deliveries in the long term, but no immediate threat. Likewise, they assure us that the likelihood of any germs, if you will, any pathogens coming across from Italy on a shotgun are pretty silly. I mean, the stuff does, I mean, I've seen some research. The stuff will survive on non-porous surfaces like plastic and metal, but over the course of a long sea voyage in a container, probably not. You know what to do about that. Wash your hands, wash your gun. Not in the washing machine, okay? All right, good enough. All right, let's get down to some of the fun stuff here because we've needed to kind of lighten things up for a while, and I hope you're doing that on an individual basis in your own household. So I asked the question on Facebook, what are you doing since you can't do much else? You know, this whole shelter in place thing, which is a real rule, a law in some communities, and it is a recommendation in many. Jake Kuhn says, I have 42 acres and over 50 animals. I'm not going to be bored. On top of that, he says he's training dogs and it's calving season. Jake, I don't miss that at all. You can have it. Long nights. Oh, did I say cold nights? And lots of other interesting things coming together if you are out there. And if you are, good luck, whether it's calves or lambs or anything else along those lines, good luck. And before we get to the phones, just a great little nugget of information. We're all focused on COVID-19 right now, but we got to remember that in my second favorite city, Nashville, there was a tragic situation with a tornado or two or five a while back. Something neat on Facebook and within our community, Jared Biddle, J-A-R-R-O-D. B-I-D-D-L-E, and I tell you that because he's making you an offer you cannot refuse. He's quite the artist, beautiful drawings of Britneys, and looks like a couple pointers and some quail and farm machinery, some just great bird hunting prints that he is going to offer up for sale and then donate all the proceeds to Nashville tornado victims. So if you want to learn more about Jared's work and also his offer, look him up on Facebook, Jared, J-A-R-R-O-D, Biddle, B-I-D-D-L-E. Some incredible work there and going towards a good cause. And only $35 a piece, special pricing of multiples. If you want to really lay it out for somebody down there in Nash Vegas, they would sure appreciate it. All right, so let's get to the phones. I'll give you Jared's information one more time later. But on the phone with me now, John, where are you calling from, John?
I'm up in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Okay, so how much snow you have left?
Well, unfortunately, we just got hit with 4 inches last night. But prior to that, we were on a good melt-off.
Well, good, and I hope it melts fast. You guys have been hammered the last few years. I remember coming through your country last fall, and there were still lakes in the middle of cornfields that weren't harvested. I hope you don't have to deal with that anymore.
Unfortunately, there's still some standing crops, but that makes good numbers for the birds that survive, through the winter.
Well, that's, thank you, because there is one more bright spot to that whole situation there. And for this podcast in particular, we're trying to figure out how we can turn lemons into lemonade with this whole COVID-19 coronavirus shelter in place, which I call house arrest, because it's only a matter of time before it becomes that. John, what kind of dogs you running?
I run two Deutsch Drahthers.
Oh, you guys are at a hotbed up there for Deutsch Drahthers. Are you hunting them with waterfowl as well as with upland birds?
Correct, and we also try to run in some blood tracking now that we had just passed the law this last year with being able to use dogs on big game blood tracking.
Nice. Do you have to keep them on a long lead for that up there in North Dakota?
Correct, we do.
Yeah. Well, good on you, and I'm sure there are some big game hunters out there who will appreciate it next fall, so glad to hear it. How was your hunting season last fall, by the way?
Oh, it was all right. We could have had a better one, like you said. We got a little affected with a really late season blizzard and a lot of standing water, and the farmers having a tough time getting crops off. So the more crops that are standing, the more places for birds to hide.
Yeah, well, I sure like that, and I'll remember that when I'm headed your way. I'm hoping to make it up there this year. So thanks a lot for the encouragement. Now, here we are in some communities. You are literally breaking the law by going out and trying to run your dog on public ground. In others, it's frowned upon, almost like selling plywood during a hurricane. What are you doing up there, John? Are you facing any of that?
It's just starting to hit here now. Unfortunately, as of this morning, I just got laid off from my job. I work in the service industry, which I'm a cook.
Yeah.
So we've been taking some hits there, but we gotta play the safe as we can.
Yeah, and you have my sympathy. I have a lot of good friends in the food service business, and they're all twiddling their thumbs at home as well. It is part of the order here, and by order that means the governor, with one stroke of her pen, has turned it into law. They are only open for takeout and a delivery service, which means most of them are, you know, laying everybody off. Well, good luck on that, and I hope it doesn't last too long, because that can be devastating. So what are you doing with your dogs in the meanwhile?
Well, I just had my first litter of Deutsche Rothaars this past spring, so I got my hands full with a puppy. And as of right now, I'm just working on horse fetching, some recall, a lot of the basics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're testing in the VDDNA, I presume. What are the biggest challenges with a young dog for that testing program? That's, by the way, for everybody else. That's the American branch of the German club for the Deutsche Rothaar, which translated means German wire hair, if you really care about those things. So, John, what are you doing that really is going to take most of your effort?
I'm working on bringing out a lot of her nose, so I'm doing some rabbit tracks, some duck drags. This first test is based on a lot of puppy skills.
Yeah.
So it's seeing what the pup is, you know, like what attributes does this dog have naturally?
Sure. Yeah. So nose, drive, if you will,
drive.
Maybe use of wind or something like that.
A lot of cooperation,
sure,
and obedience.
Yeah.
And then the pointing, of course, is in there as well, with it being a pointing breed.
Are you able to work with live birds? Do you have your own collection of birds out there to work with?
I don't have my own collection, but I do have access to a handful of grain silos that I can go and get some pigeons at.
Nice. And then up there, tell us all about this. I think you can train on wild birds on some of that prairie ground almost all season. Am I right on that?
Yes, you are correct. Where it comes to limitations for training on wild birds around here, it would be on state or government regulated land. And they just don't want you out there when the birds would be nesting.
Got it. Well, it sounds like you got your hands full with a puppy on the dock for this year's testing season. Good luck on that, and on the employment situation. Let's all keep our fingers crossed for everybody, particularly in the food service industry, which has been just hammered. So, John, good luck to you. Thanks for being on the Upland Nation podcast.
I appreciate it. Have a good night.
And as our Facebook friend Terrence Chesney says, putting more birds under your puppy's nose is never a bad thing. So if you can find silo pigeons or underpass pigeons or overpass pigeons or something like that to work on, or if you have access to real game birds, all the better. Keep up the good work, John, and hope you're back at work real soon. You know, there are more than one or two people I talk to on a fairly regular basis who have dusted off their calls and looked up all of their camo clothing, and some of it actually still fits. And what are they doing? They're going to start a little turkey hunting. Now, you talk about social distancing. If you're not far enough away from everybody else when you're turkey hunting, then you're not really turkey hunting. So, you know, there's another one to add to your list if you're looking for things to do while you can't go to the tavern or to the dog club or to the Pheasants Forever banquet or anything like that. So, you know, start making a list, check it twice. I'll try and come up with a couple other ideas down the road as well. And on the line from sunny California, that's as far as I go. I was going to say sunny Southern California, but Matt, I don't think you're down that far, are you?
No, I'm in the Bay Area.
Yeah. So you
Wait,
are.
I shouldn't admit
cripes.
That.
No, it's all right. Yeah, you have our sympathy right about now.
Thank you.
You guys are literally sheltering in place, and I think down there it's as good as law, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm a general contractor, so I do get to work.
Oh, good, good.
And stuff, and my wife actually works at Safeway, so she has to work too. Yeah. So,
well, so she's your main man when it comes to your toilet paper supply.
Well, not really. They're pretty much out of it every day too. So,
okay, so you know, I'm glad I brought that up actually, because I'm going to give everybody a tip if you haven't figured it out yet. Mm. I'm a little bit slow on the uptake, and I refuse to fall for the panic, but on orders from headquarters across the driveway at the boss's house, I was told to go to the grocery store this morning and pick up all the stuff that we usually get in the afternoon. And sure enough, there was plenty of TP on the shelves in the morning. So
yes.
So go then if you need to.
Exactly.
Pardon the pun.
I just told my wife I'll bring the garden hose in with the you know, the sprayer on it.
Yeah,
we'll make do with it.
Yeah, the rednecks. Bidet.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, tell me, I mean, now I'm just curious enough because, you know, we're out there and, you know, it wasn't like the place was all panicky and everything, but there were a lot of people in the grocery store. And then I was down the street getting a bag of pigeon feed recently. You know, everybody's just going about their business. Are you seeing that as well, Matt?
Not so much. Well, in the Bay Area, everybody's panicking, buying everything. And I actually had to get dog food. I ordered dog food on, you know, over online one night.
Yeah.
And I get the email later going, it's going to be 5 to 8 days. I'm like, ooh, I better see what I can get.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I ended up buying just a 27-pound bag to get me through another couple weeks. And, you know, nothing. I didn't want to go overboard, didn't, you know?
Yep.
And,
yep.
Traffic in the Bay Area is awesome right now.
Oh, I bet it. And you among few can appreciate
it. Oh, God.
Wow.
A 45-minute drive now usually is like 20.
Yeah, I remember some of those East Bay freeways even when I was living and working in that country. And, man, you couldn't pay me to go back, except maybe this week.
Well, I know I would stay away too. It's still not worth it.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right. So, you know, the talk here at the Umpland Nation podcast, by the way, I'm Scott Linden, the host. That's Matt over there in the Bay Area of California. The talk is, all right, so here we are kind of stuck, whether we're mandated stuck or just voluntarily stuck is academic, I guess. You had a pretty good suggestion or two. Why don't you tell us what you might suggest we do in these days of restrictions?
Well, I like to go blow off steam and go shoot trap for a while, because that's always relaxing and fun to do, and then throw the training dummy for the dog.
Yeah, you got a special one there too, I think.
Yes, and that was a shameful plug. I just had to point it out there, but you know what? I think that's really what got my dog into fetching because I started him out at about 4 months with that.
Yeah.
And he would bring it by the strap, the wing, whatever he could carry. And
yep, I love it. You know, I like to, by the way, everybody, we're talking about that Real Bird bumper that I designed a few years back. I like the fact that, and maybe I should take credit for offering several things for several sized puppy mouths to grab onto.
Exactly.
Well, that's good, and I'm glad to hear it. But, you know, you bring up something that's near and dear to my heart, and that is making noise and breaking stuff. And in terms of relieving stress, you know, clay targets are probably as legitimate a reason or a legitimate way to do that as anything else. How far do you have to go out there to find, you know, something to shoot at? I mean, do you have something nearby?
For clay pigeons, I'm actually really lucky. I have a club that's like 5 minutes from my house.
Wow.
And the next one's like 15 minutes away for right now. They haven't closed these down.
Yeah.
They've closed a lot of our ranges down due to the lead. You know, they go, you need to clean up the lead. And then as soon as they close it down to clean up the lead, they're like, yeah, we're not going to give you a license to reopen.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's getting scarce around here, but it's real nice that I can get off work real quick and go, come on, boy, let's go shoot some clays. Run up there.
That's, you know, as the Facebook post of the smoke coming out of the breech says, aromatherapy.
Oh, exactly. Well, exactly.
Well, good for you. And we lived through the same thing. In fact, my favorite trap range, it had been in the same place out of town, if you will, since 1933, I think. Now it's a housing subdivision and a elementary school. But they went through the same drill. It's just crazy what's happening out there.
Oh yeah. No, California's getting hard to do anything almost anymore. Everything I like to do, they're trying to get rid of. Off-roading. I have a Jeep, I go snowmobiling, I hunt, you know, and it's like, really, why are you guys against me so?
You don't take it personally, because one of my best friends lives down in that country, and we're, you know, every week we're commiserating about one thing or another. Hey, give us just give us a reality check on this kind of stuff. Everybody else listening right now, you don't know how good you have it. Matt, what do you have to do to buy ammo?
Actually, it's not that hard now.
Good.
Because I do have my real ID. But before I got that, I bought my last gun 4 years ago, so I was in the system. So I was able to buy anything.
Okay.
I wanted to.
So you have to, but for some of us, that means you have to get in the system, which means applying for some sort of a permit, right?
Exactly.
That's just crazy.
And see, like my brother, he hasn't bought a gun in, I don't even remember. And then he hasn't gotten his real ID yet and everything. So it's, you know, he's like going, how am I going to do this? And we won't go any farther than that.
Yeah, it gets to be a mess. And just for those of you in California, as my friend learned the hard way, you got to apply for that, and then you got to, actually conduct a transaction within a short amount of time, maybe 30 days, or you have to apply and pay again. Am I right?
Yeah. And I think that's what it, there's so many rules, and it's like got so confusing. I just finally started calling the sporting goods store and say, what do I need to do to buy ammo? And the first thing they said is, if you bought a gun in the last 5 years, you're okay. And I'm like, perfect. But I still, when I went down, I took my receipt and everything to show, you know, but it was, they did, you know, it went through no problem.
Well, good for you. And I'm glad to hear it. It's one of the few things that we can do to maintain our sanity these days.
Oh. And then, and now hunting season's over, and that's, you know, that's the bad thing. Now it's, we don't even get to go play anymore right now.
Oh, okay. So as a public service, you know, and I did this years ago, and I didn't realize at the time how dumb it was, but I'm glad I did it. And FYI, there are others who will not do it. That is, I put up virtually every episode of Wing Shooting USA, my TV show, on YouTube. Now, it may not be in high def or 4K or whatever 5K it is now, but it is, at least you could watch it if you need a fix real bad. So
I watch them every Monday morning when I'm eating my breakfast. And okay. I listen to your podcast while I'm at work.
Okay,
and
well, your check is in the mail.
No, it's actually something. It's nice to have something like that nowadays.
Well, I'm glad to help, and there is no charge for that. So.
Oh, okay, good.
All right. Well, listen, you've got probably the most interesting situation developing over there. So I'm going to wish you the best of luck and turn you loose, hopefully for a relaxing evening and maybe even a few broken clay targets. Thanks for being on the Upland Nation podcast.
All right. You guys have a great night.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Oh, yeah. And he's also living through a puppy right now, too, which you might have surmised from all of that. And if you are doing that right now, then good luck to you. Just remember, puppies can do no wrong. And you know, again, and soon enough, we'll have more from the Monks of New Skeet as they have. Yes, the Monks of New Skeet are going to be on the podcast very soon. So stand by for that. But in the meanwhile, just remember, they've got some great advice about bringing puppies up. Their book is called The Art of Raising a Puppy. And it has a way different take on how to raise and train dogs and perhaps anything else you've seen out there. You know, you study enough of this stuff and you realize, well, Ronnie and Rick do that, the Smith cousins, and then George Hickox does that, and Evan Graham does that, and those are all kind of things from that, but these guys have put it all together into one book, and it is relevant. I don't care whether you're a monk or an agility trial person, or a bird hunter with a bird dog. It's a great book, and you might want to take a look at it. Speaking of that kind of thing, bringing up dogs and training, I've got a bit of advice on that from our Cabela's podcast studio coming up in our Handle It segment. But in the meanwhile, hang on, and please give your attention to a couple brief commercial announcements, because the reality is, without sponsors, I couldn't do this. I couldn't afford to do this, and we wouldn't have the Upland Nation podcast. Our first good friends are Dr. Tim's Performance Dog Food, and I'm not joking about these are people that I know and I work with, and I believe in their products, and Dr. Tim Hunt is one of those guys. He's a veterinarian. He's a sled dog racer. The guy knows a little bit about performance from performance dogs. And just to make it good for you, Dr. Tim Hunt has allowed you to take a 30% discount on your first order at drtims.com. If you just use the code Upland Nation, go to the website, learn about all the different formulas, whether you've got a working dog or a puppy or a couch potato. One of the things Tim has told me about are some of the functional ingredients in their formulas. And this is one, I always wondered why this was in here, but there is an ingredient called porcine plasma. Porcine, of course, is pork. Plasma is a derivative, some of the raw materials in blood. And in a dog food, that assists with the dog's immune system and gastrointestinal health. All right, learn more about all of that and get your 30% discount with the code Upland Nation by going to drtims.com, Dr. Tim's Performance Dog Food. And we've been talking a little bit about breaking clay targets. That's where I learned to appreciate electronic shooters protection. ESP America is Jack Homa's website, espamerica.com. You know, we've all put up with, you know, the little roll-up foam plugs or some other kind of thing with a tether on it. It doesn't matter. They're falling out or they're putting too much pressure on your ear because they're not custom fit. Now, whether you have it done at the Sportsman Show, which good luck on that, or at your local audiologist, and Jack will arrange for that, you should have custom fitted, conforming perfectly to the shape of your ears, hearing protection devices. They rest in there gently, securely, so you can wear them on the range and in the field. Learn more about all of that. Shop all the choices and all the prices at espamerica.com. And from the Cabela's podcast studio, welcome back to the Upland Nation podcast. This whole podcast is about good stuff, positives, all the things we can do right now, yes, to take advantage of the self-imposed or the gubernatorially imposed lockdown, if you will. One of the things I'm doing right now is getting my gear together, my training gear. If you're not already training, it's time. Wake up, smell the coffee, and get out there with your dog. I don't care how well developed your dog's skills are, there's always room for a tune-up. And there's always room for more stuff. Talked last week about building a training table, woe table, whatever you want to call it. That's a good project. Shouldn't take more than a few hours if you can use power equipment without cutting off a finger here and there. But here are some other things you might consider doing. Making. Check cords. Learn how to tie a bowline. Get a good latch, one of those brass clips, if you will. Tie a bowline to it. You can make check cords out of virtually any kind of rope. I like a nice stiff rope that's light, so that it doesn't wrap around all the stuff your dog is going to drag it through. Sometimes the best source is your hardware store or your sporting goods store, where water ski rope seems to fit the bill quite often. You ever thought about making a backing dog silhouette? You know, an easy one out of plywood or something like that is a great idea if your dog is to that point. And then if you're so inclined, as everybody knows, no birds, no bird dog. Consider adapting something else or building from scratch a pigeon loft. Doesn't need to be fancy, but then you have your own training birds all the time right there. Good luck on all of that. Hope you do it. If you got any more suggestions about stuff to make when you're locked up in your own yard or anywhere else, well, send me a message on Facebook, either the Wing Shooting USA Facebook page or the Upland Nation Facebook page. And good luck. Be careful with that power equipment. All right. Speaking of pigeon lofts, on Facebook, Steve John says, I have an active pigeon loft. I don't know what that means. They're pretty quiet around our house, but once in a while, well, when the bobcat comes to visit, they get a little bit active, that's for sure. And when the Cooper's hawk perches in the nearby aspen trees, yeah, they get really quiet. All right, anyway, Steve says, I plan to train solo quite a bit this spring until the virus passes. Yeah, this is even going to be an issue. I watched a couple of folks hiking one of the trails out behind my house when I was running Flick this afternoon, and they walked at least 6 feet apart the whole time, and even when we stopped and chatted, they never got any closer to each other, and they didn't get any closer to me. Probably a good idea, even in your training club, if your club is still meeting. Good luck on that. Steve's been doing a lot of obedience training in the basement. And, oh, thank you, Steve. Also watching Wing Shooting USA. I love it. Thanks so much. Okay, one of my favorite callers, Lance Larson, Carver Extraordinaire. Thanks for being on the program with us, Lance. Welcome to the Upland Nation podcast.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
You're down in Arizona, I think, and are you guys being hit up with the mandatory lockdown and that sort of thing, or where do you stand in that whole world?
Well, since I pretty much do, you know, I do some contract work and I do my own business, it doesn't affect me that much as it could, but they're shutting down everything. I mean, it's all the things that got going with the professional sports teams, and they're shutting down any type of banquets around here. You know, as far as for money raising banquets, almost every organization has shut down their banquet around here and things like that. So, as far as that's kind of stuff that affects me, you know, poor different groups that you know, make their money, and they've got to push off their banquet or postpone it or, you know, cancel it completely. That's terrible.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the unforeseen circumstances that nobody's really talked about yet. Thanks for bringing it up. If you're a member of one of those groups and you normally do go to your banquet, Well, they may or they may not reschedule it, so you might want to kind of renew your dues payment early or figure out another way to support them. But I'm going to dig into that. Thanks for the tip on that one, Lance. That's something that we ought to kind of be a little bit more mindful of.
This is the time of year a lot of them start, have their deal. So.
Yeah, this could be devastating. I know in our own community, one of the local, in fact, kind of a kids therapy center that me and the rest of the Rotarians in our group built a few years ago. Their big fundraiser is supposed to be last Saturday night. And of course you can't have that. So now they're going online with what will hopefully be a very successful version of their fundraising effort. But a lot of groups haven't glommed onto that yet. So if you're a member of something, ask around and find out how you can help everybody.
Yes.
Okay, so from a practical standpoint, Lance, those Grey Ghost dogs years, are you finding dog food for them?
Well, I generally order dog food. Yeah. I get it. So I was, when I said I order 2 months at a time, I was kind of making a joke because I got to drive 40 miles to get it anyway, so I always order 2 months at a time. just to save a little on gas, but I don't know if that's going to be as much factor as toilet paper is going to be for people, but I put my boys first to make sure that they're going to have what they're going to need.
Yeah, and speaking of that sort of thing, if you didn't know this yet, you're going to know it now. Amazon is basically resetting their priorities. If you're not buying what they define as an essential item, even your prime delivery is not overnight or second day, it's 2 weeks. So if that's how you buy your food or your dog supplies of any sort, Amazon's doing it. It's probably only a matter of time before everybody else does. So be mindful of that and plan ahead. Somebody earlier today said, I didn't need it yet, but I know I'm going to run out before I can get it on the regular delivery schedule. So I went out and bought some locally. Hey, that's not so bad a thing either. Every local business can probably use a few more bucks in their pocket this time of crisis. So consider that well.
Worst case scenario, I can eat ramen, but boy, my boys get what they need.
Yeah, their food is $2 a pound. Mine is $1.49. on sale at the local Walmart. So what are you doing with your dogs these days to cope with this wacky world?
I'm walking them more.
Yeah.
It seems late.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, don't have as many things planned on the weekends, but I'm walking them more, doing a lot more tossing the bumpers in the backyard. Just to get them something, I decided I'm not going to be going to bark parks or anything in my neighborhood just because there's a lot of people there too, and let's just not push it.
Yeah.
I guess I was lucky that my pointing dog club didn't cancel their fun trial this weekend, so that we got that going for the pup, so we'll be able to go out and hunt some quail. We do have, and of course there's always that option to go into the little preserve we got close here for some quail. If we want to, because that so far is not closed.
Wow. So in Arizona, at least where you live, you still got a fun trial coming up, and you can hunt a preserve if you want to. I love it.
Yeah. So it's there. There's not a lot of there's not a lot of it going on for much longer because obviously it pretty much shuts down toward end of March, beginning of April. All of them kind of shut down.
Sure.
Here. Yeah. That's what the heat, when it gets to be 110, nobody's going to be raising too many quail in this area of the state, maybe up north in the Flagstaff area, but not down here, South Phoenix, where it gets warm.
Yeah, it sure does. I spent a week one night on a freeway on-ramp trying to hitchhike to Flagstaff, but that's a story for another podcast down
there. Yeah, I can
believe
that.
You bring up a good point. I mentioned on an earlier podcast this week, this special edition, I mentioned that a lot of clubs are saying we're going to play it day by day on a field trial and a hunt test situation. So if you're out there and you're planning to be on one, especially if you're going to have to travel a long way or it's a big one, like a really big one, like in Amo in Amo, Indiana, for the NASTRA folks. Stay in touch with NASTRA at the national level, because it's going to change. I mean, they're going to have to at some point make that decision. It's probably going to be made almost at the last minute. So good luck on that. Anything else you might think that you're that is kind of run of the mill for you that we might want to try? I talked about like making stuff for dog training, and you're a maker. What are you doing to get your dogs trained up that might include happy hand kind of work?
Well, I think I found that I'm really lucky with my younger dog that he's not destructive with toys. So I've actually, his toys in the house, throwing things down the hall or backyard, are actual those docking bumpers, those retrieving dummies.
Sure.
I mean, just to get them active. I mean, I'll just stand up like I'm doing just as I'm talking to you, and I throw a chucker bumper out the backyard, and he comes with it. You know, we're just having fun that way. We just do it all the time. I can't figure out any other way to get him to retrieve better, so it's just we're trying to do it all the time.
Are you able to go to any public ground and actually run your dog, or is there a restriction yet where you live?
Actually, across the street from me, I've got open areas.
Great.
That I can go. The only thing is, crazy thing here in Arizona, it's raining and raining for the past few days, so it's just we've got different kind of mud here. Basically, just sticks to you take about 3 or 4 steps in the mud, and all of a sudden you're 3 inches taller because it just glues to the bottom of your feet.
Yep, we used to call it gumbo in California. Down there, it's more yep. That caliche soil is just clay.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Yes, so that's kind of out for at least a few days until it dries up.
Yeah, you know, because the other problem with that is it gets in between the toes on your dog, and it takes forever to get out. You know, I found that if my dog is getting that stuff in between his toes, the first thing he does when we're done is he goes and soaks his feet in the bathtub for about 10 minutes. That gets most of it off before it has a chance to harden, as long as I remember to do it.
Yeah, exactly, because that hardens up just like it's like cement.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you're wrestling with the poor guy the whole time, and that's never any fun anyway. Well, good.
I get the feeling my dogs are getting bored sometimes because they're not doing enough, just because I came home about 2 weeks ago and found a dead morning dove in the hallway. Had to figure out, tried to question him to who went and caught the morning dove and brought it in the house.
Wow. Well, that was either a slow morning dove or a really quick Weimaraner.
Exactly. I don't know which.
Yeah, well, just for the record, you didn't really find that. We don't want any federal employees with nothing better to do because they're furloughed to read into this anything that might be.
Oh, yeah, it was one of those European.
Collar.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a Eurasian. Yeah. It had the band.
Okay, no violation there. All right, good. Okay, and nobody really knows where you live yet, but they will. So you're safe. Your secret is safe with us on the Upland Nation podcast. Lance, great talking with you. Be safe out there, and good luck with your fun trial this weekend.
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Appreciate the call. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. And speaking of that country, there was a place that I remember down in that area with green in the name. Actually, that was down by Tucson now that I think about it. But anyway, a post from Keith Coyle, the Green Acres Sportsman's Club in Roberts, Illinois. They're agonizing right now. They got the same issue that Lance alluded to. They're still going ahead with their event on Saturday. Brings up a couple good points, though. Keep hydrated, drink regularly, considerate of others, especially if you're going to sneeze or something like that. Don't shake hands, stay apart from each other. They'll never have more than 20 people maximum in their clubhouse where he lives and where they're holding this event. It's not a big violation yet. 20 people is okay. Good for them and good for everybody else who's going to be there. Good luck on that. I wish you the best and, be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And we have time for one more caller. And Paul, you're sheltering in place, but not your own place. Is that what I'm reading into this?
Yeah, I'm in transit. We had a wedding reception for my son in Richmond, Virginia. And instead of flying back in a little tube, we decided to rent a car, which might be a little healthier. So we stopped in Ohio to visit my sister. And from here, we're going to Chicago to do the last leg up to Ironwood, Michigan and Hurley, Wisconsin.
Well, be safe out there, but I think you made a good decision. Yeah. You know, it's funny. All the folks I know who are traveling by air are telling me that it's a ghost town once you get into the airplane, but the airports are crazy. Heard the wackiest report from Palm Springs Airport today, where all the Canadians are fleeing before the border closes. So, plan ahead.
Once I get home, it'll be a lot quieter and much more comfortable.
And that's the whole idea. Where you've been, where you're headed, or where you will end up, are there any mandatory restrictions on where you can go, how you can travel, who you can socialize with, or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of. We're going to travel through O'Hare, but the plane we're going to go on is an 8-seater, so I don't think we'll have to worry too much about contagion because it'll be a pretty small flight going back up to our hometown.
Yeah, I remember those well back in the day when I was first in the TV business. We called them flying culverts. I'll never forget being bumped off one of those going from Minneapolis to some tiny town in South Dakota. Because when the wind got too strong, they had to abandon half the seats so that the pilot could still keep the plane under control.
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't say those kind of things when you're going to get on one, but here we are. So so we're talking about all the semi-bright sides of all of this. If we can't do all the things we usually do, what can we do with our dog and regarding bird hunting and bird dogs that that might be worth, doing? What are you doing?
Well, once I get home, I'm going to head out to our lake house and start tapping trees, maple trees, to make maple syrup. And my dog Sadie is right alongside of me, and she kind of walks, sometimes floundering through the heavy snow. It can be anywhere from 2 feet to 3 feet of snow left on the ground yet. So
wow.
I'll be using my snowshoes, and Sadie will be following in my tracks.
And what kind of breed is she again?
She's a German wire hair pointer.
Okay, great. Well, if any dog could do it, that's the one. Good for you.
She's got a lot of sisu.
Yeah, whatever that means. Okay, come on. Now you got to tell us.
That's a Finnish word for guts, integrity, determination, stubbornness. So it's one of the few Finn words that makes it into the U.S. language.
How do I spell that? Because that's going into the program notes.
Oh, yeah. S-I-S-U.
Thank you. All right.
Oh, sure.
All right. So besides making maple syrup, what else can you do with your dog that's more kind of bird dog and bird hunting oriented? Can you do any training out there?
Yeah. It's, somewhat limited because we still have a lot of snow on the ground. And it's turning into the mud season. So, I'll take her out for long walks and we'll work on hand signals and, just coming back on command.
Great.
She's going to be 12 this spring. So she's pretty much got everything down to where I'm comfortable with it. But yeah, reinforcing all the basic controls and signals is what we usually do.
You know, that's a great idea. I was doing that with Flick this afternoon on a retrieve or two, and I'm trying to not burn him out. But, there's, if we thought about it, if we made a list of all the commands that we expect our dog to follow and do one of those every day, one each of those every day, we'd probably keep our dogs in pretty good shape, and we'd be in better shape too. So, yeah, thanks for the reminder on that. Good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the idea is just to keep walking. You know, we go for walks every day, like 3 times a day, because it's good for me, it's good for her, and, you know, it just keeps the mind sharp too.
Sure. They say if your dog's fat, you need more exercise. Well, good. Exactly. And best of luck getting all the way home. It's, as you well know, it's wacky time to be traveling anywhere for any reason. So be safe.
Yeah, we live in interesting times.
As the Chinese proverb goes. And good luck on that. Thanks a lot for being on the Upland Nation, Paul.
Well, thank you much. I always enjoy talking.
Thank you. And that's the understatement of the week. Interesting times. Best of luck to everybody on that. Hey, still got the This Land Is Your Land feature coming up here on the Upland Nation podcast. My name is Scott Linden. I'm your host, facilitator, and hopefully, you know, cheerleader as well. So whatever you're doing out there, do it with your dog. Make sure that you are safe in whatever way you define safe. And for the most part, make sure you follow all the rules because in the long run, we'll all get out of this mess a little bit sooner if we keep the risk low. No risk involved. In fact, that's the whole idea behind a Gunner kennel. Gunner makes the highest quality dog crates I have ever seen. Gunner.com is where you learn more about them. Watch some of the videos there. You will not freaking believe what they have done to punish these kennels just to show you how strong they are. Congratulations to all the winners of the recent photo contest at Gunner.com. You know, a Gunner kennel has over 125 components in it. Every one of them well thought out by the folks there at Gunner Kennels, and that's why it has a lifetime warranty. That's how much they believe in the product. If you don't believe me, well, go learn more at Gunner.com. And don't forget, even in these times, they're doing their best to help you out. One way, they're offering financing now on a Gunner kennel. Learn more at Gunner.com. Speaking of savings and money matters, at Dogtra.com, take 10% off anything over $200 and get free shipping on anything over $200 with the clue SLUN10. SLUN10 will get you 10% off at Dogtra.com on any product, including their T&B Dual collar. T&B Dual is my training collar of choice. Right now I'm using it on Flick, and it seems to be doing the job. One of the things I like most about it, the battery life is unbelievable. And if you like that vibration feature, one of the best parts about this T&B Dual is the vibration is a little bit more robust than all the other collars I've used over the years. Learn more about all of that and more, and get in on the March bundle deals on many collars at dogtra.com. All right, time for our This Land Is Your Land segment, brought to you by my new website, findbirdhuntingspots.com, where in bits and pieces you're getting a taste of my whole fall hunting season, which was all public land, all wild birds, all places I'd not ever been before. Sound like a dream? Well, it was, and you'll go to the website, findbirdhuntingspots.com, to get pieces of that adventure here and there. In the meanwhile, though, another article from the website that you might enjoy, 13 tips to make your life easier. All right, many of them are travel-oriented or for places you go that might be handy once you get there. One of them taught just this year on that trip by a buckaroo down in Southeast Oregon who has become a good friend since then, and a hunting partner as well. You know those wire gates, the barbed wire gates, 3 strands across and an upright post on each side, and one of the posts is hammered into the ground. And the other one is kind of loose, but it's held by a loop of really stiff wire. Sometimes those are a little bit hard to open because the tension on that upright post that moves is so great. Well, the first thing David told me when we got to that gate was the reason they make them that tight is because the boss, in this case the cow boss, really thinks it's important to have a tight gate. And I understand that. They're supposed to be cow-proof, and that's one way to do it. If you cannot get that thing pried loose from under that wire loop, then the first thing you got to do is go to the middle of that thing, put on your leather gloves, and hold on to the top strand. Lean back and try and put some stretch into the top strand of that gate by pulling from the middle. All right, once you've done that, go back and try again. Put your shoulder into that upright post, and with any luck, that wire loop should loosen up enough to push up and over the top of that post. Good luck getting it back in, but now it's a little bit more stretch and it might make life slightly better for you. All right, here's my last chance to remind you that you will get custom fitted highest quality digital hearing protection devices at espamerica.com. Jack Homa is my friend and my supplier of hearing protection devices, and he has done a great job of making them affordable for everybody. Remember, hearing loss is cumulative. You can't get it back. I don't care what magic potion you drink or what kind of pills you swallow. It's gone forever. Protect it before it is. espamerica.com. Well, that's it for the Upland Nation for now. Thank you for paying attention. Hope we were able to brighten up your day and your week and your whole ordeal over this COVID-19 thing. If you enjoyed the show, I would appreciate your telling your friends. And more importantly, I would appreciate a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts, especially if it's Apple Podcasts. You can always learn more about the podcast and what else is going on in the Upland Nation at Upland Nation's Facebook page or at the Wing Shooting USA Facebook page. Get all of the back archived editions of the Upland Nation podcast at uplandnation.com. You can leave me a message at any of those places or also at my website, findbirdhuntingspots.com. It may be a tough time for a whole bunch of reasons, but it's also a great time to reacquaint yourself with your family, your friends, and, of course, your bird dog. Practice safe hygiene, wash your hands, stay 6 feet apart, except with those you love and trust, and enjoy the time together. You will regret it if you don't. Thanks. See you in the field.